raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. All right, so come back again to verse number 4, just so we can get our bearings here. Verse 4 says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares." And the purpose of this book, the book of Jude, is to help us to identify and to recognize those who would creep in among the believers and defile or disrupt or in some way, shape, or form destroy the good fellowship that God has established in a local gathering of believers. We have gone from the group of examples that we had in verses 5, 6, and 7. These were examples of groups. We had the children of Israel in verse 5, the fallen angels in verse 6, the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, and all of those, the examples of each of those was that they were not afraid to live immoral lives. That was the example of each of those. Then we had this warning in verses 8 and 9. We had a warning about men who would not submit themselves to authority, and the examples were given in verse number 11. Of Cain, of Balaam, and of Korah, all of whom were characterized by being told what to do, and then they refusing to do it. And that rebellion is an identifying characteristic. Now we go from the examples to the actual practices of these people and the results of these practices. And these will be fivefold. First of all, the Bible says that these people are spots. And notice again, they are in the gathering of believers. They are within the fellowship. Because the Bible says they are spots in your feasts of charity. They are in the gathering of believers. They are in the fellowship of the saints. All right, let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, as before we study this part of the scriptures, Lord, we thank you for them. First of all, we thank you, Lord, that you care enough for us to give us these warnings that we may be protected from these people who would creep into our fellowship and try to destroy the wonderful fellowship that you've created here between us. And so, Lord, help us to do the right thing, to know what it is, what is the right thing. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's run some verses. Come to Leviticus, first of all, Leviticus 13, and then Numbers 28. If God warns us that people are spots, we need to find out from the Bible just what this matter of being spotted signifies. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priests shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague is in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Leprosy is an uncleanness that is deeper than the skin, but it will work its way to the surface, and it will show up on the skin in the form of a spot. And the man who is spotted with leprosy is a man who is unclean in his flesh. Okay, look what the Bible says there in verse number 8. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin. Behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin. And verse number 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Now, we don't have time to go into all this matter about leprosy, but leprosy in your Bible is characterized in this manner. It is an uncleanness in the flesh. It works its way to the surface in the form of a spotting in the skin, and that thing has to be dealt with because it spreads. And the only way to keep it from spreading is for those who have not been infected by the disease to stay away from the infected one. So the warning in the book of Jude is these certain men are spots in your feasts. They're unclean in the flesh, and that uncleanness sooner or later is going to rise to the surface. And if you don't separate yourself from these men, that sin, that uncleanness, that defilement that is in their flesh will spread and will infect everyone they come in contact with. So the Bible warns about them. Now come to Numbers chapter 28. Numbers chapter 28. When we come together to worship the Lord, we come together to offer the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of thanksgiving, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Okay, so watch this pattern. Numbers 28, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me shall ye observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot. Verse number 9, and on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot. Verse 11, and in the beginning of your months ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. God wants an unspotted offering. What was happening, Jude was warning the church, you're coming before the Lord to offer your worship and offer your thanksgiving and offer your service, but there are spots among you. And God doesn't want a spotted, an unclean, a defiled sacrifice. He wants a clean sacrifice. He wants a pure sacrifice. All right, in the New Testament, take a look at Hebrews chapter 9. And then we'll go to Ephesians 5 after that. Hebrews 9, Ephesians 5, and then 2 Peter 2. Hebrews chapter 9. And verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross at Calvary, offered himself the sacrificial payment for your sins, for my sins, and when he did so, he was a lamb without spot and without blemish. There was no sin, no defilement, no iniquity, no dirt in him whatsoever. He was offered without spot unto God. Now, what is his purpose as he works in the life of his church, its individual members and the church collectively? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All right, according to the Bible, what does unspotted mean? It means holy and without blemish. What was the offering that had to be offered to be acceptable back in the Old Testament? One that was holy and without blemish. And what did a leper have to prove himself to be before he could re-enter the fellowship of the congregation? He had to be holy and without blemish. What did it take for your sins to be put away, my sins to be put away? The offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was holy and without blemish. Now, what is the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ as he works in the lives of Christians? Is it to teach them not to judge? No, that's garbage. That's nonsense. It is to make us holy and without blemish. And the book of Jude is warning you about men who are content to be spotted. Doesn't bother them to be spotted. They're content to be wrinkled. Who are content to be blemished because they are fighting against the very purpose of Jesus Christ for his church. Wouldn't you as a man, Ephesians 5, wouldn't you as a man who loved your wife more than you loved your own life, wouldn't you resist every attempt by friends, family, foes, society to defile her and to make her dirty? Well, don't you know that Jesus Christ opposes every attempt that is made to defile his church and to make it dirty? Now look what the scripture says in verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by what? By the word. The word. Now how do you recognize a spot in your feasts of charity, and how do you identify those that you are to separate yourself from, lest you lose your holiness and lest you become blemished? Well, there's only one way to be clean, and that is by the word. So you are to, are you listening? You are to beware of those within the assembly of believers who have controversy with the word of God. Well, I just don't like that. Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, that's just your interpretation. Well, the way I look at it, hey, I'm telling you right now, the Bible says those are spots showing up in that individual there. And if you keep hanging around with that spiritual leper, you're going to get the leprosy. Now, none of us is crazy enough to say, I live up to everything that's written in the Word. None of us is crazy enough to say, well, I'm completely holy. I'm totally without blemish. But what we're after, what we're looking for is an attitude a heart's desire. You know, think about David. David, his heart was not like God. That's not what the Bible says. His heart wasn't like God's, but the Bible says that he was after God's own heart. Okay? If you're after holiness, if you're after a life without blemish, you will hearken unto the word of God. And a man who is not after holiness and not after a life without blemish, he will debate and argue and criticize against the word of God. And the Bible says you better steer clear of that bunch there. Okay, look in 2 Peter chapter number 2. In case you haven't figured it out, I don't do everything the Bible says I'm supposed to do. But when I come across something that the Bible says do it, and I know I'm not doing it, I don't condemn the Bible. I condemn myself. And I say, man, I'm guilty of that right there. Pray for me. I need to get that right. See, God helping me, I will never say, yeah, well, I know what it says, but I hope I never say that. That is a spot. That's a blemish. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13. Watch how the Bible lays this out. I tell you, the Bible is just so perfect. Verse 13. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Okay, look. Spots they are, and blemishes. Okay, what did Ephesians 5 say? Ephesians 5 said he wants you without blemish. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Look, they're right there with you. They're breaking the bread with you. They're taking the cup with you. They're in the fellowship hall with you. They're eating with you after the service. But they don't have the same respect for the word of God that you do. They don't have the same heart attitude toward thus saith the Lord that you do. And the Bible says, watch out for them. Man, listen, it's hard enough to stay true to the word of God without saved people trying to talk you out of it. They're trying to talk you out of your confidence in the scriptures. You know, I can handle the unsaved crowd. That's a little bit easier. I can handle that because you already know that an unsaved person is not going to be on your side. But when the guy who's supposed to be on your side keeps chopping away at your Bible while professing to believe in it, that's tough to deal with there, right there. And the Bible says you better watch out, because they will get you spotted. They'll get you defiled. And they'll get you dirty. They'll get you thinking like they think. I don't want to join in with that stuff. All right, so you say, well, preacher, how do you deal with these people? You ought to just run them out of the church. No. How does God deal with a lack of holiness? How does God deal with the blemishes? By the word. The word does three things. Number one, those whose heart is right, even though their life is not holy and their life is not unblemished, those whose heart is right, the word helps them to grow and to continue to get right. Number two, the preaching of the word helps those that are trying to do right to recognize those who are not right. Well, the Bible says this, and, well, look what they're doing. Man, what should I do? I mean, I don't hate the guy. I don't despise the guy. I'm just not buying into his rejection of the scripture. Okay, so it lets you see that and helps you to know how to deal with it. And the third thing it does, man, after a while, somebody that doesn't want to live by the Bible, they're going to get sick and tired of hearing from the Bible. And then they're just going to go blemish something else, somewhere else. I mean, they'll drift away sooner or later. They really will. Church discipline actually is pretty rare. It's a rare occurrence in a church where the Bible is actually being preached, because when the word goes out, it will keep the house clean for the most part. Okay? You might have to get down in a corner every once in a while and scrub a little bit, but the preaching of the word will keep the church pretty clean. So we're just going to stick with that. Okay, notice before we leave these spots, just one last little thing here. Jude number 12, Jude verse 12, feeding themselves without fear. You always see these people with those bumper stickers, no fear, no fear. The church is supposed to fear God. The spotted crowd has no fear. And so again, beware of that bunch. Moving on, secondly, the Bible says, clouds they are without water. Clouds they are without water. For this, let's go to Proverbs 25. Let the Bible tell us what that means. Proverbs chapter 25. I just love the way the Bible defines the Bible. Look here, Proverbs 25, verse 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. No water in there. Now, when you read in Jude, what do you mean, clouds without rain? Clouds, they are without water. The Bible tells you exactly what he means. Clouds without rain, it's people bragging that they have a gift that they don't have. Okay, look at John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. What kind of gift? John chapter 3, verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is likened unto what? Here in John chapter 3, verse number 8, likened unto the wind. So what kind of gifts are we talking about? Comparing Jude with Proverbs 25 with John chapter 3. We're talking about men who boast of having spiritual gifts that they don't have. Spiritual gifts. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Okay? These clouds without rain, these are men who are boasting of spiritual gifts and they don't have them. You say, well, how do you know they don't have them? Because the gifts, the Bible says, those gifts are in subjection to the person possessing the gift. If I give you an automobile, you'd love it, right? That would be your automobile, okay? You can do whatever you want with it. That's the nature of a gift. If I give you 20 dinars, you can spend that 20 dinars any way you want to. It's now your 20 dinars. That's the nature of a gift. When you see these guys come into your church And they say, well, praise God, hallelujah, I got the gift of tongues. And you say, really, let's hear it. Not one of them ever in a lifetime will comply. They won't speak in tongues. And they'll give you some lame excuse. Well, you know, you got to be in the Spirit. Well, you know, the Spirit has to move you. You know, it's not just automatic thing. See, you say, really? You know, I mean, they're going to give you some lame excuse every time. Okay? That's not what the Bible says. Their excuse doesn't hold according to the Bible. You're boasting that you've got a gift, and the Bible says if you've got the gift is subject to your control. And the fact that you can't control the gift that you claim to have, it's proof positive that you don't have it. I'm a rain cloud. I'm a rain cloud. Oh, yeah? Well, okay, let's see some rain. Well, not today. Then you're not a rain cloud. I'm a thunderstorm. I'm a thunderstorm. I don't hear any thunder. Okay? Well, you know, not right now. Then you're not a thunderstorm. Look, if you've got a gift of healing, that'd be great. Let's go down to the hospital. You can do something there. Okay? Well, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, that's because you don't have it. It worked that way for Jesus. It worked that way for Peter. It worked that way for Paul. It worked that way for John. It worked that way for every apostle in the Bible that had the gift. All Peter needed was a shadow. Remember that? You say, well, I got the gift, but they just don't have any faith. You heard that one, right? How much faith did Lazarus have in the tomb? Jesus raised him from the dead without any cooperation on his part, on Lazarus' part. Jesus one time visited a bunch of unbelievers at Nazareth. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid some hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So healing first, right there you learn healing's not a mighty work and it doesn't require anybody's faith because nobody believed him in Nazareth. The gift of healing was not dependent on the faith of the sick people. Now here's what they're going to do. They're going to come into your church and they're going to tear that thing all to pieces if you let them. By telling people, oh, are you saved? Yeah. Do you love the Lord? Well, yeah. Do you have the gift of the Holy Ghost? Well, yeah, sure. I got it when I was saved. Oh, I mean, do you have the evidence of the Spirit? See, they can't leave that alone. This bunch right here, they can't leave it alone. I'm telling you right now, if you work with one of them and they find out you're a Christian, they cannot leave it alone. They won't witness to lost people. But they'll be all over you about this speaking in tongues stuff. If you get one of those people in your family, every family reunion, they just can't leave it alone. And listen, they don't have the gift. They boast themselves. They present themselves as being more spiritual and superior to you in their walk with the Lord because of some gift that they claim to have. And when you ask them to produce, they can't produce. You'll go round and round with those guys if you give them the time of day. I don't have time for it. I don't know about you. But don't tell me you've got the gift of healing and your wife is walking around with her arm in a sling. She's got a broken arm. Why didn't you heal it? You know, I don't believe you. Why did Oral Roberts wear eyeglasses? Oral Roberts the healer? Yeah, that's kind of weird. Why didn't his son help out his old dad with his eyesight? Because there was no rain in those clouds. And the Bible says you better watch out for them. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. You know what's weird? when you talk that way, people say, oh, you're so hateful. I don't hate them. I get along with them fine. But as soon as they bring up that tongue stuff, you're going to find out who's the hateful one. If you cross them on that tongues business of theirs, you're going to watch that all of that syrupy, lovey-dovey, PTL, charismatic stuff go right out the window, man. And they'll snarl and they'll look you in the eye and they'll say, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. No, that's another verse you don't understand. I'd be blaspheming the Holy Ghost if I said that what you were doing was the Holy Ghost. That would be blaspheming. Well, let's see what we got here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Okay, now look, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The Bible said that they're waiting for an opportunity to get you off the track with their false gift. Now, how do you know we're talking about these sign gifts, these tongues and healings and everything else? Well, look at verse 11. He has given gifts. God has given gifts, right? In verse number 8, he gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Where are the healings? Where are the tongues? Where are the miracles? It blew away in the wind. You got a Bible now at this stage, book of Ephesians. Okay, now you've got an established New Testament church. This is not Acts anymore. This is Ephesians. This is not evangelism in the streets. This is a local church gathered together with written scripture. So the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, says the wind is not blowing anymore. The clouds aren't raining anymore. It's time to get to work. Time to study your Bible. And watch out when that wind comes through. It's a hot, dry wind, and there's no rain behind it. It's hot air. All right, let's go back to Jude. The third characteristic, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Fruitless trees, they're not producing anything. You know, the people that come into a church to tear it up, do you know what they do in that church? All they do is tear it up. That's it. They don't do anything else. They just stir up the pot here. They stir up the pot there. They stir up strife over here. They stir up strife over there. They don't ever do anything that's helpful. Well, let's look at some verses on these trees. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, Matthew 21, and Matthew 23. John 15, Matthew 21, and Matthew 23. So first John 15, first place will be John 15. Maybe you think I sound angry about this here. I think everybody ought to love the Lord's people and the Lord's church enough to get angry about someone trying to come in and mess it up. Wouldn't you get angry if someone tried to mess with your kids, tried to mess with your wife, tried to mess with your Bible? You ought to get angry when they try to mess with your church. It ought to bother you. Look, man, if you are a tongues-talking charismatic, go to the charismatic church. What are you doing here? Right? If you think Benny Hinn is great, go to one of his miracle crusades and watch him knock ladies over in their dresses and wave his coat and blow in people's faces. I mean, if that's what you like, go there. Why go to a place that doesn't believe that stuff and try and tear it up? Then when you're told you're not appreciated, you're going to say, well, they don't have any love in that church. They sure didn't show me any love. God wants us to love one another. it's the way it is. John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Now look. And that your fruit should remain. Those who belong to the Lord, not only do they bear fruit, but their fruit remains. These in Jude don't bear fruit, and what fruit they might have had, it didn't last. It didn't remain. And that's why the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. That's why the Bible says not to promote a novice. Okay? You've got to give somebody time to show what they are. Okay? You got to watch somebody for a while. You have to see them how they perform in some circumstances. You got to let some things go the wrong way and see how they handle it. Cuz they may come in looking kind of fruitful at first. But if there's nothing real to it, it was not going to last. Matthew chapter 21 is next. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 17. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. All right, so no fruit. Get rid of it. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's not doing us any good. All right, Matthew 23, verse 15. Matthew 23, verse 15. Remember, Jude said they were twice dead. Okay, now, why do you have to beware of this bunch? Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. One time, D.L. Moody, he was a member of a church, and he told the pastor, he said, I'd like to teach the Bible to a Sunday school class. The pastor, not knowing Mr. Moody and being wise, he said, all right, you can have a Sunday school class. Just go out and get one. Go out and get one. And being the kind of man that he was, Mr. Moody, that's exactly what he did. He went out, led some people to Jesus Christ, and then he started teaching them the Bible. Had his Sunday school class right there. And oftentimes today you get a man, he wants to teach Sunday school. But tell you what, if you were to tell him to go out and get one, he'd just disappear. You'd never see him again. Why? Fruits. Fruits. They want everybody else to bring their fruits in so that they can eat it up. Bring your own fruits. Bring your own supper. You know, we'll all eat from what everybody has brought, but let's everybody bring something. We'll all benefit from what everybody does within the local church, but let's all do something. And the Bible warns you about this bunch that doesn't bear any fruit, doesn't produce anything. Turn to Matthew 15 while we're in the neighborhood here. Matthew 15. Verse 13. You know what I've noticed over the years? I'm going to tell you because it's the truth. The only people that ever complain about the way a church spends money are the people who don't give any. And the only people who ever complain about what a church does with the building or the grounds or the are the people who are never at the church on a work day to help with the work. The only people that ever complain about the young people are people that never work with the young people. It just goes on. You can go on right on down the line. The Bible says, beware of those who are not producing anything. Because if their heart was in the work and their heart was knit with yours and your burden was their burden, they'd be there with you helping to turn out a product for God. And the fact that all they're doing is sitting around watching everybody else who's busy and sniping at them, so that's a warning. They're fruitless trees. Matthew 15, verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. They won't take root. They're not going to last. All right. Number four. Let's go quickly. This is an easy one. Jude, verse 13, says next, raging waves of the sea. Pretty descriptive term there. Foaming out their own shame. All right, for this, let's go to Isaiah 57. Isaiah chapter 57, raging waves of the sea. Waves. You know what? Did you know a wave is in motion? It's in motion, but it's not going anywhere. Okay? Did you know that it's a common myth that a wave starts out here and it moves up like that and it hits the shore? That wave is really not going anywhere. You can put it to the test. Throw a cork or a buoy or something out into the water, and that thing will sit right in that same spot going up and down on those waves. That water's just rising and falling. But raging waves, they just can't settle down. They just can't let things rest. They just can't enjoy the fellowship. If something's not stirred up at the moment, they're the ones going to get it stirred up. If something's not bouncing off the walls, they'll get something bouncing off the walls. If there's not some kind of strife or conflict going on, they'll get one going on. And I'll tell you right now, if you get this crowd in the church house, you can just go down the list. Here's all the names, all the addresses, all the phone numbers, and you can just mark it down and say, if there's trouble, it's going to be that one, and that one. Those are the ones who are going to be causing that trouble. If there's a problem, it's going to be that one, and that one. If there's a falling out, it's going to be that one, and that one. If you get these people in the church, every time something's going on, they're the ones that are going to be right there in the middle of that. Why? They just can't stand for everything to be calm. They just can't stand for everything to be going smooth. Boy, things are going great around the church. Well, there must be something wrong. Isaiah 57. And it's not deliberate. I mean, the ocean doesn't get up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to pitch up a hurricane. That's just the way things go. But the Bible says in Isaiah 57, verse number 20, 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Now watch. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. When the sea gets raging, the water gets dirty. When the sea gets raging, it drags stuff up from the bottom and brings it to the surface. When the sea gets raging, it takes things that have been buried in the depths and it brings those things to the surface, brings them to the light. And you better watch that crowd that's always dragging up stuff that God has put in the sea of forgetfulness and dragging up things that God has buried and bringing that stuff to light that God has buried in the darkness. Just better be careful about those raging waves. Listen, if we dealt with that thing 5 years ago and we dealt with it in the right way, and God put it under the blood, and we've moved on, why do you keep bringing it up? We dealt with that kid 6 months ago about that thing. He got it straightened out. He hasn't done it since. Why do you keep calling him names? That family, they got to the altar. They got that thing worked out. They met with the preacher. They're doing great now. Why do you keep looking down your nose at them? Listen, watch out for that bunch that's always dragging up people's past and trying to make an issue out of it. Always dragging up dirt. Always dragging up mire. The Bible says to watch out for them. They're going to tear your church all to pieces. Man, if something is lying on the bottom, leave it lying on the bottom. Just leave it alone. Have you ever been canoeing or something like that in a muddy river, and you pull up to what you think is the shore, and you jump out of that canoe and you sink up to your waist in that sticky silt kind of mud stuff that you can't wash off for a week? That's nasty stuff. You know what the best thing to do is? Just leave that stuff on the bottom. If you go down there and touch it and move it around, and that stuff starts moving through the water and spreading before long, the whole water system everywhere around you has been defiled by that mire, by that dirt that you stirred up from the bottom. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, watch out for the raging waves. They're always stirring something up that's dirty and always getting something going on that's going to take a while to wash it off. Beware of that bunch. Amen. One more. Wandering stars. Sounds like a rock band that's on tour, doesn't it? To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wandering stars. Let's go to Job 38 for this. Probably real familiar with that. Job 38. We've already seen this bunch in the book of Jude. Job 38. And we'll start in verse number 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together. Okay, who are those morning stars? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. All right? Now the sons of God, the morning stars, those are the angels. Okay, we learn that running all the different verses in the Bible that we can't run today. So who are the wandering stars? That's a different group. Those would have to be the fallen angels, again, that left their first estate. So the Bible tells you in Jude 12 and 13 that these are wandering stars, meaning what? Meaning these four individuals, the spots, those aren't holy. They're not unblemished. They don't fear God. Those that are clouds, boasting of spiritual gifts they don't have. Those that are fruitless trees, those that are raging waves, always stirring up dirt. They are in league with unclean spirits. The devil is manipulating these people within the churches to try and wreck and ruin the fellowship and the testimony of that church. Okay, and then just something to notice here. Look at the progression back in the book of Jude. Watch the progression. I'm not looking now at their characteristics. I'm looking now at what end they come to. Verse 12. Feeding themselves without fear. Okay, that's how they begin. Carried about of winds, plucked up by the roots, foaming out their own shame, the blackness of darkness forever. That's a bad progression. Bad progression. All right, let me show you one more thing and I'll be through. Now, we're off the charts around here when it comes to pastoral authority. I've always believed if you've got any, you don't have to preach it. And if you have to preach it, you don't have any. So why even fool with it? But there's one more thing you need to notice about these people in the book of Jude. Look at verse number 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Okay, look in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Again, Ephesians 4. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God gave men to feed the flock. Those men in the book of Jude, they don't need a pastor. They do not need a Sunday school teacher. They do not need overseers. They do not need accountability to the brethren. They think they have all they need in their own little brain, in their own little heart, in their own little Bible study. And the scripture said, none of us, Ephesians 4, has reached a place where we don't need some food provided by our brethren. If you get to the place where you think you can feed yourself and get enough nutrition and enough nourishment to be everything God wants you to be, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You will get yourself in trouble. Amen. We'll stop there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again that you've shown us the characteristics of these people that the devil would send our way to try to mess up our wonderful fellowship that you've kept together for so many years. Lord, we've moved around, but we're still the same church, and we still love your word, and we're grateful, Lord, that you're still working in this body of believers, in this local church. Lord, we just thank you for opening our eyes a little bit more today. We pray you'd continue to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.